You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, a fresh edition of Czech Life, in which Jan Wellinger looks at child obesity, a growing problem in recent years in this country. After that, Ian Willoughby will invite you to take a turn around the city with his guest in My Prague. Aleš Rumpel will take you to his favorite places in the Czech capital. And finally, our bi-weekly Czech lesson, in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. All that coming up, so do stay with us. First in line, Czech Life with Jan Wellinger.
Child obesity continues to be a problem in the Czech Republic, having risen considerably in recent years. And the popularity of increasingly passive activities, like spending more and more time on the computer or on the internet, certainly hasn't helped. And that's where organizers of two projects underway, Škola plná zdraví and Česko se hýbe, hope to make a major difference. One focuses on the introduction of healthier foods at school cafeterias. The second on sport and physical activity, culminating in an aerobics and dance performance at Prague's O2 Arena on June the 1st. In short, children need to move it, as the song from Madagascar says, and they should be having fun doing it. First, I spoke to Eva Škovíčková, the head organizer of Škola plná zdraví. So we go to veggies first. I asked her to tell me more about the project's main aim.
The main target is to increase quantity and especially the quality of vegetable consumption of children. And in this project, we have three big ambitions, let's say. The first one is to offer more alternatives in school meals, to take it more attractive and to offer new solutions to vegetable selection. The second one is how to explain and show in practice the simplicity of using and cooking vegetable for children. And last not least is to increase the popularity of vegetable for children. And for this, we use the special strategy, playful and natural strategy.
I'm going to want to ask for some details about that strategy in a moment. Has the plan been put into use anywhere at schools already, or is this something that is going to be implemented only now?
It's already implemented. We started the project 3 years ago. This strategy and this educational method is already implemented in 1,400 schools in the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Who are some of the main partners who are involved?
The main partner is Společnost pro výživu. We can translate as the Czech Society for Nutrition. And its president is the supervisor of our project. And of course, it's all the team of the Czech Republic is moving project, Česko se hýbe project. And we just created the new project called Česko is moving in healthy schools.
Now, you mentioned vegetables being a choice or alternative on the menu. What are some specific examples?
The recipe we provide are simple to be prepared, and it has to be tasteful, original, and various. And for children especially, it has to be full of colors. So the main issue is that the vegetable inside the meal has to be visible on the plate and has to be crunchy and natural. So the most popular vegetable among children right now is corn, which is very popular.
It's very interesting that these different kinds of strategies need to be used, but it's certainly true that when children see something on their plate, they don't like the look of it. It won't make it any easier to get them to eat it. I know that from having my own child that we have to employ different strategies just to get him to eat what he should be eating. So part of the project you've already suggested is changing the mindset of children. Are there any other methods that are used to make them approach vegetables more positively?
Actually, our motivational game, which we call Bundik Mania, is a really right way how to change the mindset of children or the perception of what they eat. Because they don't just eat, but they play in the same moment. Via this project, the consumption of vegetable per capita per child increased by 2% per year, which I think is very successful. And we reach 1.5 kilo per child with 400,000 children who could appreciate this change. So the launch for them becomes very fun, and it is a real game. So I could see children when I visited canteens. I could see these children being excited and interested in eating our vegetable meal, which was really great change to see it. And I think that there is now, we can call it vegetable mania in the canteens. They just do it only to get the small stamp into their book. They have some special vegetable diary, so they could collect the points and just having a fun and eating and looking what's going on.
And just off of the cuff, is there any vegetable where you have still met resistance, which, despite your efforts, hasn't proven popular?
Yeah, we have. It's strange because maybe 10, 15 years ago, the special resistance consisted in green kind of vegetables, spinach. And right now, the spinach is quite popular, but children resist in eating broccoli and green beans. So now we are looking for a new way how to teach them eating this kind of vegetables.
Eva Škjovíčková there of the project Škola plná zdraví. Interesting, spinach used to be the big one, the big problem now, no longer. Well, in my day, it was Brussels sprouts. Now, health and nutrition specialists are always quick to point out that a healthy diet, while essential, is of course not enough on its own. Regular physical activity is also required, and I discussed that with Jana Havrdová of the project Česko Sahibe. I asked her if it was the case today that kids were simply spending too much time on the computer or the couch.
Yes, this is definitely true, and it's not a problem just of the kids in the Czech Republic, but in the West Europe and USA too. They spend, of course, a lot of time with their laptops, with television and other interesting activities that are unfortunately not connected with the physical activity. It's definitely a different style of the whole life. I remember when I was 15, I spent a lot of time just outside playing with other kids. Now the parents, they take the kids to all of activities by car. You don't spend time with other friends just outside because, of course, all the parents are afraid about the safety of the kids. So it's a different time.
Would you say that there are enough organized sports for different age groups in this country? And if so, if these organizations exist, then why isn't the message getting out?
There is definitely a lot of very nice collective activities for kids. There we can talk about Česká obec Sokolská, we can talk about the Česká asociace sport pro všechny, sport for all. Of course, there is a lot of activities based on sport unions, like football, there is a lot of things, but they are maybe more focused on high level of skills and competences. This is not a problem of a group of kids that are really talented and they want to be focused on sport. Not enough physical activity is a problem of a mess of a big group of kids that spend time, their time after school, they spend it with the computers and games without physical activities.
Mm-hmm. Does some of the blame lie with the families themselves? You already touched upon that. For example, many families have both parents working, so they don't have enough time for their kids. Also, we're in quite a long recession now, so it could be cost restrictive for some families as well. Do you think that those are factors? Yes.
Well, the activity Czech on the Move, we call it in the Czech language Česko se hýbe, is not talking about the organized activities only. This is a way of life. We say that if you go for a walk for 30 minutes a day, then it's much better than to stay at home and to just go for a walk, to go to the forest, to use a public playground. This costs nothing. So if we talk about a high level quality of skills, talented kids, then we can talk about money. But the basic level of physical activity does not cost anything. This is just a simple bad behavior, bad way of life that we are living right now.
A competition, which is part of Česko se hýbe, is in its final stages now, where children have been competing to draw awareness to the problem of not enough physical activity. Could you tell me what it is that they're competing in?
Because the Czech Aerobic Union is focused on aerobic, we, of course, support the kids to do activity with music. So it's not just aerobic, it's a dancing, it can be cheerleading or whatever, but simply based on some movement with music or for music. So we have now a project that is running for half a year, and there are 150 schools involved, and all the kids, they prepare a very short performance for music. It does not matter whether they have good skills or good level of skills. It doesn't matter. We don't compete, actually. Mm-hmm. We don't say that those kids are winners. We just want to see them move. We want them to create something together, to have a project, to have fun, to dance, to be motivated by songs, by popular songs, by YouTube videos, and something like this. So we don't want to make them compete so that they will be then sad that they have not win. But we want them to move, to be together, to increase social contact, and to create something. And the physical activity is a main part of this.
I imagine the kids have been enjoying it very much. Do you get a lot of feedback from them?
Yes, it seems that they really like it. It's a big fun and pleasure for us to see the kids, to see the children, the teachers, their coaches, how they really are interested, how this is a big focus for them. This is a big development, what they did together, how they come. There are full buses of kids coming to the special rounds of this tour, and they are really happy. They are smiling. You can see the energy. So it's perfect.
Like any other activity in youth, it can be habit-forming. In this case, I imagine the habit is overwhelmingly positive. Do you think that the lessons that they learn now, or that the activities that they're taking part in, that it gives them a greater chance of not only not being obese later in life, but sticking with it, doing sports later?
I think so, because this is about habits. And if physical activity or sport is a really deep part of your life, then you take this habit to your adult age as well. And we have a lot of evidence that physically active people are much healthier, they are much more happy in their life, and they know how to work with the life much better, because they are used to win but to lose, they are used to work. They know that everything costs something. I'm not talking about money, but about work and energy. So they are definitely much better prepared for the whole life.
That was Jana Havrdová of the project Česko se hýbe, an excellent recommendation to end this edition of Czech Life.
That edition of Czech Life was by Jan Wellinger. Moving on now, once a month, Ian Willoughby asks a well-known personality to show him their favourite places in the Czech capital. And he's now ready to set out with this month's guest.
Aleš Rumpel is the head of the Mezi Patra Queer Film Festival, one of the leading events of its kind in Central and Eastern Europe. He's also been involved in numerous other cultural activities and currently works at the National Film Archive. Our tour of Aleš's Prague begins on Národní třída, or National Street, an avenue that's home to institutions like Café Slavia and the National Theatre, as well as shops and restaurants of varying standards. So what does Národní mean to Aleš Rumpel?
It's the very city centre for me. When I first came to Prague on business, it was to talk to the British Council, which used to rent premises here on Národní třída. So when I first came to Prague to work, it was to go to the British Council here in Národní. And then this is a place where people meet at the Tesco corner. It's one of the, along with the Václav Square by the horse, this is probably the second most popular place for people to just gather and then walk somewhere in town. This is where I work. I work in Bartolomějská because my job is with the National Film Archive, and this is one of our house buildings. This is where the Velvet Revolution started. So this is a place that could have more life and energy for like a daily user. There's not many, you know, places where you could sit outside, but that has been changing recently, so I'm glad about that. But this is a place that's very historic and very central, and I like it.
You must have been, what, about 10 years old when the revolution began?
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing Narodni on TV?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I was 11. And, of course, I remember the news reports. But I first came to Prague only in 1991. I come from a small town near Ostrava.
The street name Narodni means National Street. Is it grand enough for that name? Because there are some great buildings here, like the National Theatre, like the Viola building down the street here. But there are also a lot of homeless people. There are some quite ugly shop fronts.
I like that. It's diverse. There's, you know, the look of the street, the chaos, the traffic. There's a part of the street that has almost no life, which is next to the National Theatre and the Academy of Sciences. And then there's the upper part of the street leading to Jungmannovo Namestie is more where people shop and eat. And I like that. I think that, you know, is suitable to the name.
To me, the mix almost represents Prague in general. You have the grand and the kind of shoddy.
Yeah, that's true. There's a beautiful functionalist building that's completely empty because the user obviously is waiting for better times to sell it. There's a construction site where there will be a 5-star hotel that has been empty for years, and the surrounding buildings were used by graffiti artists. There's Pietro Filippi, which is a Czech fashion brand, next to the...
With an Italian name.
With an Italian name, next to Tesco, that has a my in English, which is a play on a my, may,
meaning
Czech
may
word. Yeah, so it's crazy, a mix of everything.
Are you at all aware of the efforts that people have made in recent times to kind of enliven the area beside the National Theatre and behind the Nova Scena?
Yeah, around the Piazzetta, you mean. It's a great initiative. Maria Strakova is in charge of the programs there, and I like a lot of the arts programs that take place there. I worked for the Prague Quadrennial, which happened 2 years back. It's a big festival of performance, space and design. And we built a project called Intersection, which was this maze of boxes for performance and installation art. And I think it's great that the National Theatre is lending that space to arts initiatives. And it's not only hardcore art projects. There's bars.
There was a sauna there last year.
Excellent. I think it's great.
From the corner opposite the main entrance to Tesco on Narodni, Aleš Rumpel takes me to the nearby Café Louvre, one of the finest spots in Prague to enjoy a coffee and or mouth-watering slice of cake. It turns out that my guide has a personal attachment to Louvre, which first opened its doors in 1902 and has had many famous regulars since.
Well, I like Louvre because it's a great place. It's a good place to eat. It's also a great place for coffee. They have an amazing Turkish coffee made in Jezva, which is fun to have sometimes. And I also have a sentimental connection to Louvre because this is where I first met my partner, then partner-to-be. I was doing an interview for a magazine, and he was a photographer for the magazine. So we sometimes come here just for sentimental reasons to sit at the same table. We don't do that very often, but we often come here because it's a good place to eat. They also have vegan cakes, which isn't very, you know, common in Prague. And my partner is a yoga instructor. He teaches at Yogami, which is a studio here on Narodni, and I go to his classes twice a week. So sometimes we come here to have like a glass of wine or late dinner.
This place has a great history. Does the fact that people like Kafka or Einstein or Karel Čapek used to come here for you add anything to the atmosphere?
Not as much as the fact that Russian immigrants who fled the revolution in 1917 used to come here. It's all written in their marketing materials, which is a little funny. But they have a long history to boast with. And the fact that it's almost always full and it's basically one long room with a lot of tables, always buzzing with conversations, there's no radio. It's a great place. It has atmosphere even without you knowing about the history of the place.
Is it my imagination, or does this place have a greater mix of clientele than a lot of Prague's cafes?
It might. I think there's some people who come here because they found the place in a tourist guide, but it's not, I think, primarily a tourist destination. I think there's always a bit of an expat community, but then you have older ladies who are coming for their cakes, young businessmen having meetings here.
Apart from Louvre, what are your favorite cafes or bars in Prague?
Not far from here, there's two bars that I sometimes like to go to. One of them is ERA. It's a gay bar that used to be very popular with a lot of entertainment and arts people. Some of them moved to Kve Cafe, which was built about 2 years ago. ERA is on Konovická, Kve Cafe is on Opatovická, and they're both gay bars, but also the mix of people is quite nice. And Kve Cafe, apart from being a bar, they always lend their space to various events, like talks and debates and small exhibitions. So it's always a nice and fun place to go to.
Generally speaking, and this is a very big question to answer in a minute or so, is Prague a gay-friendly city?
Yes, I think it is. There's enough to do in terms of entertainment. There's very little violence towards gay people. So, yes, I mean, there's different questions. You know, the question is different when you think about the legal status and all that. But for everyday life, yes, it's a friendly city.
Our final destination today is another Prague institution, albeit one whose grandeur has faded in a way that Louvre's hasn't. But while the café bar of the historic Lucerna Cinema could perhaps do with a little sprucing up, when it plays host to film festivals, including Aleš Rumpel's Mezipatra, it becomes one of the liveliest spots in the city.
Kino Lucerna is one of the cinemas that we use for Mezipatra, for the festival, along with Svetozor, which is conveniently right opposite, across the street. So this is a place where I'll spend a week of my life every year for the festival, because although we have screenings starting in the afternoon, we always meet during the day to plan what's ahead. So this, for me, is primarily work. Also, One World, a human rights documentary festival I used to work for many years, takes place here. So that would be another week of my life here in Lucerna.
And during those festivals, the bar here is the place to be every night?
It is. It gets really crowded. The service never can accommodate all the requests, so it can be a little frustrating. But I think it adds to the atmosphere. It's always full. Sometimes we have DJs playing, and it becomes really an attractive place to be.
What is the reaction when you take directors here? The cinema is over 100 years old.
They love it. It's 112, I think, this year, and it's still in its original design. It looks like an old theater, but it was always planned and constructed as a movie house. So all the theater masks and all the Art Deco decorations and staccatos, they're all incredible. And people from cities that used to have cinemas like this are always very sad when they come, because not very many survived in Europe or anywhere else. So we're very lucky to have a cinema that's not only this old, but still retains its original design, and it's spectacular.
Can you recall the reaction of any particular directors who you've brought here to this place?
It's always the same. They're always surprised, and they all love it. And we had people here like Todd Haynes, and they're all, you know, they all are very jealous, because it's not common.
Do you know much about the history of this place? It was built by the grandfather of Václav Havel.
Well, the Havels were a really influential family. Miloš Havel founded the Barrandov Studios, and he was actually queer. That's lovely, I think, that there's this connection to the, maybe a distant connection, but there is a certain connection to the past of queer film in Czech Republic and our festival that takes place here in the place that the Havel family built.
What's this bar like outside of festivals?
It's very different, and I think it's the people who are different. The thing about Czech festivals is that the audience, for most of them, is very young. And here at the Lucerna Café during the year, this is a strange mix of some tourists, taxi drivers, people who work in money exchange shops, and some old people who love Lucerna. And the atmosphere is completely different. And they also show a football match as we speak, so I think that adds to the confusion, because this is a rather glamorous place, and it's also quite expensive, but not everything is, I think, in harmony with the image of the place.
That was Aleš Rumpel, the head of the Mezipatra Queer Film Festival, showing us some of his favourite spots in Prague. Well, if you've been to Prague and want to share a memory of a favourite place, then do let us know. Write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. Now, stay with us for another Czech lesson with Jan Wellinger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn idioms through song lyrics. Today we'll be listening to a song called Skamenělý dítě, the petrified child or the stony child, by the great Czech nannies rock band Lucie. The words to look out for are pytel blech, a bag of fleas. Pytel plný blech. To be like a bag of fleas, být jako pytel blech, is similar to having ants in your pants. In other words, to be restless. You might hear a teacher scold children saying, "What's the matter with you? You're like a bag of fleas." Imagine a kindergarten class jumping around, shouting all at once, refusing to sit still. I can't attest to the historical accuracy, but a similar Wild West saying is said to have been, "As restless as a hen on a hot griddle." I've also seen it written somewhere that one can be as restless as a rattlesnake on a hot rock. I kind of like that. But in Czech, it's být jako pytel blech, to be like a bag of fleas. Pytel plný blech. There are also other equivalents in Czech which are quite popular, among them být jako z divokých vajec, to act like one were from wild eggs. Or, být jako z hagích ocásků, to behave as if you were from a snake's tail, restless, squirming, whipping around. Not surprisingly, these expressions are used most often in connection with small kids. Co je s tebou? What's the matter with you? Is something you might hear in nursery school. Seš jako z divokých vajec. Ants in your pants indeed. Podnesený v tašce praotec Čech. Pytel plný plech. By now you may be feeling a little restless yourselves, and I can't say I blame you. It's time to move on. But when you have a second or you simply don't know what to do with yourself next, you might try this. Look up previous editions of Soundcheck at www.radio.cz. They're the fleas, I mean the bee's knees. Thanks for listening.
And that edition of Soundcheck has brought us to the end of today's programme. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to write to us, then please contact us at english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Azarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.